The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass is producing and engineering our program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. It's April 4th, 2018. Hope the week is off to a good start for you. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got every show pretty much we've done over the past 7+ years are archived for you, very easy to use at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. If you have any questions about Tucson International Airport, TUS, you can give us a call right now, and we are talking for the first half hour on the show about air travel, one of my favorite subjects. And once a quarter, we bring in Dick Grunzel. Dick is the Vice President of Administration, and he's the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority, which, of course, the airport, Tucson International, is part of the portfolio. Dick, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on. This is our spring update, and the news is so encouraging out of our airport, which is good news for all of us that live here. The passenger traffic continues to go up. What do the numbers look like through the first 2 months of the year?
Well, through February, the first 2 months, we're up 5.4% on our traffic versus last year. And, you know, probably even more impressively, that makes 20 months in a row that we've had passenger growth versus the prior year.
You'd have to go back a ways to see 20 straight months of growth like that.
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 14 years, maybe.
to get those kind of growth. Maybe even like pre the downturn, the big recession.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's driving it, Dick?
Well, I mean, you know, the economy's doing well, you know, nationally as well as in Tucson. And the airlines are responding to that. They're adding more seats into the market. You know, in the first couple of months, I mean, we've got, you know, Alaska, which added a flight to San Jose last year, which is helping us. American has really, you know, been, you know, adding some seats into the market. They added a over the last couple of months compared to the prior year, an extra flight to Dallas, also to Chicago. They added an extra flight, as well as adding the flight to Charlotte last month. You know, Sun Country came into the market, and, you know, for the first time in probably, you know, 8 or 9 years. So, you know, really all the airlines are really responding just to the strong demand that we've got going on here in Tucson.
Well, I think a lot of the publicity, too, about Tucson, the city of gastronomy, the New York Times just had a glowing report about Tucson. And I mean, it was like this 5-star must-see kind of place. And my friend, Mr. Gibson at Visit Tucson, Dan, has been doing a great job over there. A lot of people doing well at Visit Tucson and publicizing the area, and that translates into
absolutely, and especially at this time of the year.
Yeah.
The increases that we're seeing in the capacity at this time of the year are typically, you know, the airlines are looking at all the tourists coming to Tucson this time of year. But the thing that's different this year is, you know, we can look, you know, a number of months ahead at what the schedule's looking like. And for this summer, the airlines, you know, which is, again, going to be more heavily Tucson originating traffic as opposed to visitors, the airlines are also, we're seeing about a 4% increase in the seat capacity over the summer. You know, and one of the things that we talk with about all of the airlines when we meet with them, you know, on a regular basis, is all the good things that we've got going on here in Tucson. Things like Caterpillar and, mm-hmm. and the Raytheon expansion and Home Goods, and you know, all of that information is really important for them, and they make their decisions. And I think they're seeing the good things that are going on here in Tucson, and they're responding to that.
Yeah, and I've heard nothing but glowing reports on the Tucson nonstop Charlotte service on American, which was added fairly recently, but they're doing very well with the capacity there.
Yeah, still very new. It just started in mid-February, and I've been on that flight already, you know, going both ways, and both flights were maybe not completely full, but almost full. And so it is doing very well, and the connecting opportunities are just tremendous. You know, the flight out leaving here at 11:30 at night gets into Charlotte 6-something in the morning. You can literally be pretty much anywhere on the East Coast by 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because you're getting in at 6. It's prime time. It's rush hour, for, if you will, for all the air traffic going every which way up and down the coast, and you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, both from a leisure standpoint as well, you know, going to Florida and the Caribbean, you know, you can be in the Bahamas or Jamaica, one of my favorite places, of course, you know, before noon. Yes. I mean, you can
be on the beach and ready for a nice leisurely lunch.
I mean, how great is that?
It's terrific. And American has decided that I think this is a key here, because I didn't realize that Charlotte was really the number two hub for American.
It is.
I mean, after Dallas.
Dallas is number one, and Charlotte is right up there, the number two hub. And frankly, what, you know, they're doing the same thing in Charlotte, really, that Delta does in Atlanta. It's just a really, geographically, it's a great location, you know, for a connecting hub. And, you know, the the other nice thing about the Charlotte flight is, you know, the outbound flight we talked about, but mm-hmm. the incoming flight right now is an early morning departure from Charlotte, which kind of cuts down on the connecting opportunities. I mean, when I was on that flight, I was in Myrtle Beach, and I had to leave Myrtle Beach at about 5:30 a.m. in order to catch the connection back.
So, what time is the connection out of Charlotte? Is that like 8 or 9 in the
right
morning?
Right now, it's 7:36 a.m.
Okay, so that's early.
And American actually, you know, recognizes that it would be much better if that flight was later in the day. So actually, starting in August, they're going to make that an evening flight. So okay. They're going to be changing that to a 10:15 p.m. departure from Charlotte to arrive back in Tucson at around 11:30 at night.
Another location Tucsonans really love to travel to is Austin, Texas, and now we have nonstop service to Austin.
Yes, we do. Via Air started that in January. The flight is doing well, and you know, here's a little tip for anybody who's thinking about going there. Via just announced today a fare sale on the Austin route, so they're offering one-way fares right now. From 119 to 156 or 159, depending on which day of the week you're going. Currently, they are flying that Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And the normal one-way fare in that is $199, so a great opportunity for people to save on that right now.
And it's via.com, I assume, for their website, something like that,
or
Google
Via. It may be viaair.com, but yes, just Google Via Air, you will find it.
And you mentioned
or Expedia or Travelocity, any of those as well.
So that flight's doing well. The Charlotte flight's doing well. Minnesota, of course, in the wintertime, folks love to come to Tucson. Minneapolis-based Sun Country likes what's going on very much in Tucson.
Yeah, and we've been lobbying Delta to put more seats on that Minneapolis route for years, and Sun Country coming in is I think just kind of verifying that we were correct, that it needs more seats, because they're filling up their planes just like Delta is, and that is currently going 3 days a week. It started in mid-December and will be ending this year in another week or two, but Sun Country is really happy with it. The planes are full, and as of right now, they're talking about adding that flight back next year a month earlier because it's been doing so well.
Very good. And Southwest, of course, about 6 months ago, really shook up their schedule, but they like what's going on, certainly Tucson, Las Vegas.
They do. Southwest actually reduced, that flight from 4 to 3 a few years ago. And now the demand, you know, again, that we talked about, people are just traveling a lot more these days. So they're seeing that. And again, they see the demand. So they're responding by adding back that fourth daily flight in fall, probably October timeframe.
All right, Dick Runzel sticks around from the Tucson International Airport for another segment. Lots to talk about. If you've not been to the airport, a complete redo out there. Great local vendors. We'll talk about that and talk more about air service. But right now, one of our newest partner is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and Sherry do just such a beautiful job with the baked goods. If you're out and about looking for lunch, stop into Mona's, have a sandwich on that freshly baked bread, and have one of the Buckmaster brownies. I love their brownies. Go to the website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, do we want to militarize the border? That question and more, including last-minute tax tips from Michael C. Flowers, plus our legal contributor, attorney Don Luce. During the noon hour on Thursday on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Dick Runzel is with us. It is our quarterly air service update, talking about Tucson International Airport. During the break, Dick and I were talking about some people still insist on the drive up to Phoenix, but now with all these connections through Charlotte and going to Austin, people don't need to go to Phoenix. And well, do they perceive they're saving money, Dick? What's the rationale there?
I definitely think there's that perception. You know, on average, the fares in Tucson are a little higher than Phoenix, although in many cases, they're lower, flying from Tucson than Phoenix. I mean, it is kind of a case-by-case basis, but the thing that we always encourage people to look at is the total cost, adding in, much higher parking, or if, some people, might even spend a night in a hotel, mm-hmm. in Phoenix before flying, the next morning or something. And then the cost of gas and just your time. And, I'll tell you the worst part of all is making that drive back to Tucson when your flight arrives in Phoenix at about 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
And you're not home by any means. You're in Arizona, but you are certainly not in Tucson. The amenities at the airport, this has been a real turnaround for our airport. And it's really kind of an A to Z change, isn't it?
It really is, and we couldn't be happier, and what we're hearing from our customers is they couldn't be happier with the changes that we've had so far. And just about two or three weeks ago, on the B concourse, which is the concourse that American, Delta, and Alaska use, we had four new restaurants open up. The second Beyond Bread outlet, there's also one on the A concourse. But El Charro opened, Brugger's Bagels, and Built Custom Burgers. And the reaction from our passengers has been fantastic. And even our airline partners at the airport are hearing from their passengers about how much they like all the new restaurants and the choices and the quality of the food that's being put out.
And there's some more restaurants to kind of finish it all out?
Right. We've got three more still to come that are currently under construction. On the A concourse, we're going to have the Maverick, which will be a bar and restaurant. A concourse, the Maverick. On the B concourse, we're going to have Thunder Canyon Brewstillery, again, another bar restaurant, and then also Dunkin' Donuts, which will be on the A concourse.
Oh, Dunkin' Donuts, of course, has so many loyal followers. So many folks just love Dunkin' Donuts coffee to get them going.
There are some people who,
they prefer it over Starbucks,
that's
actually.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's looking good. The future of the airport, there's a new control tower, of course, that came on board last year. What about a new runway for the airport?
Yeah, this is something that we've been working on, for quite some time already. And, it's you know, we're you know, kind of getting to another milestone here. Currently, we're in the process of going through a FAA required process of an economic impact study, and assuming nothing unexpected happens there, we expect to get approval to go ahead with the project, hopefully late this calendar year, and then look at another 1 or 2 years for design of the project, and then another 2 or 3 years potentially for construction. But you know, this is going to make you know, we basically a duplicate of our existing main runway, which is 11,000 feet long and 150 feet wide, and it's going to, you know, really help with you know, our you know, when the main runway may have a maintenance issue or something and it can disrupt traffic. It will also help the Air National Guard. It'll help us kind of separate our commercial, general aviation, and military traffic, which will make it a little safer from that standpoint. So it's a really great project and is really going to set up our airfield with Tucson's needs, I mean, really for decades to come.
How important is it right now when you see this kind of improvement, like the Charlotte flight doing well, Via Air coming in here, when you talk to carriers who perhaps are serving Tucson, but we want more service to other places?
It really helps, you know, when they see, you know, and we have the data that we show them that shows that the planes are full and that we have more planes now that are still full. So they really do look at that data, and, you know, things are good for airlines these days. Just about all of them are making money. Many of them are adding new aircraft to their fleet and looking for places to put the planes. So we present this information, and we've been having some very positive discussions with a number of airlines about, you know, kind of filling in some of the holes in our network, both domestically and internationally.
I still think Mexico would be a big win for us.
Without a doubt. And
we could get service.
We've had a lot of discussions with some smaller regional Mexican carriers about northern Mexico. Mm-hmm. One of the nice developments that we've seen lately is some of the other larger Mexican carriers are even interested in talking about the possibility of adding service from Tucson to Mexico City.
Mm. Wow, that would be great.
And, you know, and one of the things that we've heard about that is that it would offer you know, the airline the opportunity to connect passengers from Central and South America through Mexico City to Tucson, mm-hmm. and obviously for people living in Tucson, you know, to make that connection going the other way as well.
How do the numbers, the bookings look for the summer? Does the summer look strong?
Summer is always strong,
right,
for us, because everybody in Tucson, of course, you know, tries to escape the heat for a little bit of time.
Including myself, who will be at Tucson International Airport 5 weeks from tomorrow, but who's counting, right?
That's right.
And you'll be at Tucson International Airport, not that you're not
in
there.
In about two and a half months from now.
Yeah. You'll be there in a work capacity, but in 2.5 months from now, you'll be there in your leisure capacity.
Yes, I will. I'll have my shorts and my my Hawaiian shirt on, heading down to the Caribbean.
And you'll be going back to the Bahamas. And it's interesting because you were saying during the break that normally you would have had to go through Florida to get to the Bahamas, but because Charlotte is the number two hub for American, you can get just about anywhere.
Pretty much anywhere one stop now,
yeah.
Along the East Coast, Florida, and a number of destinations in the Caribbean where, you know, previously you might have to go Phoenix to Charlotte and then your destination, or you might have had to go Dallas, Miami, and then your destination. The Charlotte has opened up, you know, essentially about 70 one-stop destinations through Charlotte that many of them you just couldn't get to one stop before.
What is the future of the regional jets? We keep hearing that they're moving more, that the big carriers are moving more away from the regional jets.
That is absolutely true.
And why is that? Fuel issues?
The larger the aircraft, generally speaking, the lower the cost of fuel per passenger, essentially. So it is a more efficient aircraft. And, you know, and frankly, you know, so as airlines are, you know, adding aircraft, essentially none of the major carriers are adding any 50-seat aircraft anymore. And most of them are in the process of phasing out the 50-seat aircraft in favor of 76-seat or 70-seat aircraft and even larger.
Well, and that is a American is phased out of folks. If you have not been connecting through Dallas or really anywhere in America, and they've pretty much phased out that DC-9.
Yes, the Mad Dog, as they call it, the MD-80.
I mean, that MD-80, it was just really the workhorse of American for so many years, but it's pretty much gone.
Yeah, exactly. So our Dallas flights now are a combination and mainly of 737 aircraft, as well as actually some Airbus A320 aircraft as well.
One thing we didn't talk about, we're out of time. Atlanta hub still is really big for us on Delta with a big aircraft that Delta's been using.
They've been flying, you know, 757s.
Yes, they have.
Once and sometimes twice per day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's been great as well.
How about the website?
FlyTucson.com. You can find out about Via Air, all of the news about Charlotte and everything else.
All right. Dick Runzel, always a pleasure, and safe travels to you. And the next time we talk, both of us hopefully will have had lovely vacations.
Absolutely.
All right. See you later, Dick. And we'll be back on the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona will soon be moving to 635 West Roger Road, our new home. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesome cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, a state-of-the-art clinic, and more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us this February at 635 West Roger Road and fall in love all over again. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are here live Monday through Friday during the noon hour, and we're on AM 1030 KVOI, which is Tucson's voice. And we are proud to say we're on KVOI.com with live listening and my website, BuckmasterShow.com. And if you're joining us, welcome. You may be a first-time listener. Never know. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. When the temperature starts to soar, and it's going above 90 or around 90 certainly, this weekend be a good time to go over to much cooler Silver City. It's about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. And because of that mile high elevation, mile high being over 7,600 feet, you're going to get cooler weather. So the fine website has all the places to stay and things to do. Also, a big shout out to Green Things. They've got some wonderful upcoming free workshops. Go to greenthingsaz.com. That's a good starting place. And you can find out about these free workshops that they have at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Once a month, we are delighted to have one of our two dozen contributors, Dr. David Levy, join us from his observatory in Vail, Arizona. Dr. Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. My goodness, what a resume this man has. Former science editor, Parade Magazine, now head of, founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. He's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. How many people do you know that have discovered one comet, let alone 23? And he's also an Emmy Award-winning writer and author and editor of several dozen books. And plus, he's a very nice guy. Hi, Dr. Levy.
Hello, Bill. It's good to hear your voice from today.
Thank you very much. And our condolences here from the Buckmaster Show to the loss of your mother. I know you were very close to your mother, and we're very sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just got back from Montreal, and I will be leaving again tomorrow. But I'm here now, and you know, I'm thinking about this, and I can't really get her out of my mind. I've known her for 70 years.
Yep.
And one of the things that I'm thinking about is something I'll share with your listeners right now. It's Somerset Maugham's story about appointment in Samara. And I'd like to share that with you right now.
Because go ahead.
It talks about the inevitability of some things.
Mm-hmm.
There was a merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant to the market to buy provisions, and in a little while the servant came back, white and trembling, and said, "Master, just now when I was in the marketplace, I was jostled by a woman in the crowd, and when I turned, I saw it was death that jostled me. She looked at me and made a threatening gesture. Now, lend me your horse, and I will ride away from the city and avoid my fate. I will go to Samara, and there death will not find me." The merchant lent him his horse, and the servant mounted it, and he dug his spear, purse, and its flank, and as fast as the horse would gallop, he went. then the merchant went down to the marketplace, and he saw me standing in the crowd, and he came to me and said, "Why did you make a threatening gesture to my servant when you saw him this morning?" "That was not a threatening gesture," I said. "It was only a start of surprise. I was astonished to see him in Baghdad, for I had an appointment with him tonight in Samarra."
Yeah, it's the inevitability, isn't it? And you know, your mom, I know she probably, I can say this about my mom, who I miss every day. She was my, kind of my number one fan, to say the least. Not kind of, she was my number one fan. And how did your mother influence you early on in your love of the stars and all
well,
of that?
Well, she and Dad both did, but to a point. In fact, more recently, I've got now memory that when she was at Palomar once with Jean and Carolyn Shoemaker and me, and she was at the observatory, and Jean really tried to get her to guide one of the exposures we took in our Comet Search program, but she refused to do that. But she said one day to me, she said, "This is all very well and good, but don't quit your day job." About a year later, she stopped saying that after we found SL9.
So your parents, did they buy the first telescope for you, or how did that work?
They did. That was a 3-inch telescope, and that was a bar mitzvah present, and I still have that telescope right now. I still have it, and I treasure it, and I treasure it even more now. Plus, I have the pair of binoculars that Mother had when I was a little, very small boy, and that was the first instrument I ever looked at the night sky with.
You know, one of your missions now in life, David Levy, is really talking with young people about science and about the sky, and in fact, that's Sharing the Sky is the name of your science education organization. It really gives you a thrill, doesn't it, to talk to these kids about
Bill, that? I love with a capital L and a capital E doing this.
Yeah.
We were at my mother's 95th a few years ago, birthday, and my nephew and his family were there, and they came up to me and they said, "Are you going to be in London, Ontario, in the next 6 or 7 weeks?" And I said, "Yes." And Robbie just kind of turned around and looked. He said, "What?" I said, "It turns out I will be. Would you like to come to my son's school and give him a lecture?" I said, "I would love to do that. It's done." And so we had it all set up within about 3 seconds. Bill, you know, sometimes the kids will ask me a question like, what do you enjoy the most about astronomy? And my answer to them will be, I'm doing it right now.
It's
so important.
And the kids, there are no dumb questions. That's something that we learned early on.
There are no dumb questions from kids or even from adults. And I like to say the only stupid question is one that's never asked.
That's true.
It is so important.
David, we're transitioning into the spring and to the summer night sky. Could you give our listeners a quick overview of what to expect in the night sky?
Well, if you look to the east right now, tonight, you'll see around midnight, you'll see the Vega starting to come up in the east. And at the end of the month, the Lyrid meteor shower. It's going to be pretty weak. And there will be next full moon that'll interfere with it, but there might be a meteor or two. And then we have my favorite variable star, Tombaugh's star, which is an exploding star which tends to explode like once a year. And from being a star that cannot really be seen at all, except for the most powerful of telescopes, it brightens for a couple of days to something that you can see with a telescope. And I watch it all the time just in case it's going to perform for me.
Last year was the big excitement over the total eclipse in parts of the United States. Any that are going to be fairly close to home, or where do we have to go to see one?
Well, there'll be a lunar eclipse, but you'll have to be in Europe. Would it be possible for you to fly all your listeners to Europe in July to see a total lunar eclipse?
Oh, I wish
actually, no, I don't
wish we could.
But thinking about last summer's eclipse reminded me of another one that took place 100 years ago on June the 8th, 1918.
Huh.
My mother was 8 days old at the time. She was born on June the 1st. And of course, she was far too young to appreciate the eclipse. But in the final conversation I had with her while she was still lucid, I told her about that eclipse in 1918. She understood it, and she appreciated it, and she enjoyed the conversation. But then I told her that a few hours later, on the same day, visible throughout the world, when the sun set and the stars came out, there was an exploding star, one of the brightest stars in the sky, right there in the center of the Milky Way.
Wow.
Mom had not a clue what I was talking about with that part of it.
Well, the imagery is certainly very strong, and it's exciting to even think about that. Would be something to see.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
David Levy, always a pleasure. Safe travels. Again, our condolences for the loss of your mother, and we very much appreciate and look forward to seeing you and talking with you in early May. Thank you, David.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care.
Okay.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit toward your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamie Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. 11 minutes now until 1 o'clock here on our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. April is Earth Day. It includes Earth Day, but it's also Earth Month. And what could be more appropriate than celebrating Mother Earth and a visit to Biosphere 2? Let's welcome now on the live line, John Adams is with us. John is the Deputy Director of the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2. John, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing very well, and a lot of exciting things coming up at Biosphere 2 this month.
No, it absolutely. Rather than just focusing on a single day, Earth Day, which is April 22nd, we look at the whole month as an opportunity to focus on, you know, the Earth itself, but Biosphere 2 as a whole, and what we're doing to better understand these systems that we're also dependent on.
Well, it starts, you've got some activities. I know this coming Saturday, there's a couple of book signings by Mark Nelson, who was one of the eight crew members locked in Biosphere 2 during the first closure experiment.
Yeah, his book is a really, an interesting perspective. I've had an opportunity to read many of them, and from my perspective, he gives a very strong scientific background to, why they formed Biosphere 2 and what led up to it, and, some of the trials and tribulations they had during the closure mission. So it's a great book, great opportunity to meet the author of this book and actually get a presentation, first-hand account from him at two times. We've got an opportunity at 12 on Saturday and then also at 2.
And that book is published by the University of Arizona Press, and the book is expected to do very well. And Mark Nelson is going to clear up, I guess, some of the common misconceptions, John, about the 1991 through 1993 closure experiment. And I'm sure you get lots of questions still about that, don't you, to this day?
Well, we do, and the historical context for B2 is obviously extremely important. Why we're here talking about this remarkable facility, and the one thing I always encourage people to remember is that it was an experiment. No one had ever done anything of this size or magnitude, and so they were pioneers. And sure, we can always look back and look at ways in which we could have improved what was done, but overall, they achieved a remarkable accomplishment of which we're still benefiting from today.
Yeah, and that was 25 years ago. And then, of course, Columbia University had a stint as owners from 1996 to 2003. Then the University of Arizona certainly got involved. And how has all that history come together to what we have today at Biosphere 2?
Well, it's been a remarkable transformation and progression of the facility from its original days, and I think what captivated many people, although it wasn't the primary reason it was founded, was this notion of space colonization. with then a recognition by folks that it's, you know, a really unique opportunity at an unprecedented scale to look at our systems, to, you know, the University of Arizona today continuing to expand and develop where, you know, we've built the largest facility that's designed specifically to understand the fate of water in semi-arid environments. We're now embarking to renovate our ocean system so that we can be in position to help the world understand the corals, the resiliency of those corals, and what was going to need to be done to actually hopefully save these reefs that we see are in dire need now around the world.
Yeah, and we see it even with the Great Barrier Reef, John, as you know, certainly endangered. I had the pleasure of flying over that reef and actually visiting a number of years ago, and I think if I went back today, I'd be extremely disappointed. It's really dying off quickly.
Well, and that's, you know, it's one of those systems, although, you know, many of them are a threat around the world. A lot of the research community and our folks believe that, you know, this could be the first sort of large-scale loss of an entire ecosystem as a whole, the coral reef environment, and, you know, that loss would be devastating, not only for a diversity standpoint, but from a cultural and an economic standpoint as well for those communities that live around and are dependent on those systems.
We talked about this weekend with the two book signings beginning at noon at Biosphere 2. What else do you have coming up on these Earth Month weekends, John?
Well, we're focusing on the Saturday of each day in April. And so, again, Saturday, April 7th is when things get kicked off. But we've got Tucson Electric Vehicle Association that will have a number of electric cars out in front of Biosphere. We've got Flandreau Science Center, who will be doing some physics discovery activities. And then part of this ocean theme that we were just talking about, we're going to be asking the public to help us release a whole host of invertebrates as part of this project as we're revitalizing and re-envisioning our research in the ocean system. So to start off with, we're going to be releasing some hermit crabs and some snails as well. And again, we're going to give an opportunity for the people, for the public to go down onto the beach, learn more about these critters, the importance of them, and actually help us release them into the system.
Well, we have certainly a lot of visitors still who are here for the winter who have perhaps not been to Biosphere 2. At the beginning of the show, the first half hour, we talked about how air travel and tourism is up, really doing very well. This has been turning out to be a terrific winter. 20 straight months of increased passenger travel at Tucson International Airport, and put that all together, all this publicity about the city of gastronomy. New York Times had a glowing article about Tucson recently. That's got to help Biosphere 2's future.
Well, we are so happy to see tourism as a whole in southern Arizona picking up and rebounding. And you're right, we benefit greatly. And we want to see everybody out at Biosphere 2. And we'd love to see you out, you know, one of these Saturdays or any day in the month of April. But regardless of when you decide to come and visit, we've got some really unique opportunities to experience Biosphere 2, whether it's the Under the Glass tour, this amazing 30-year history tour, or, you know, we've got a tour that we specifically designed for families. So, you know, whether you're able to come out in April and help us with our ocean release or come out some other time this summer, we'd love to see you out there, and there's great opportunities for everyone.
Are those online courses about Biosphere 2, was that just a seasonal thing, John Adams, or is that going to be a year-round event?
With regards to, I guess...
Your online, open online course called Biosphere 2 Science?
Yeah, so the massive online course. No, that is something that's going to be available.
Okay.
And so this is the first iteration, and we'll... again, look at how it's received and what we can do to improve it and likely do future iterations as well.
I ran into Joaquin Ruiz, who, of course, is the dean of the College of Science and so instrumental in what goes on at Biosphere 2. Ran into him over the weekend, and he said, I asked him, how did the drone race come out? Because we talked about that, John, when you were with us last month, and he said it was a huge success.
This is something that I had never experienced before, and it was unlike anything else. You know, the sport is amazing, and again, I underestimated its passion and drive. But secondly, just the way in which Biosphere 2 was highlighted and used, I think, was really a unique way to think about the future. And you see these types of activities really propelling us into the future. And Biosphere was a perfect venue for that. And, you know, we're going to let people know coming up, but that race is post-produced, so it means that it's going to air in September sometime. And we'll make sure we let everybody know when that's coming up so they have an opportunity to watch it if they weren't able to come out and see it live for themselves.
All right. Folks can get more information about all of the Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2. Probably, John, the best starting place, go to biosphere2.org. Is that it?
That is correct, yes. Our website has all the information folks will need from the activities for the month of April, or just generally how to visit Biosphere 2, as well as the research activities.
John Adams, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Bill.
John Adams is the Deputy Director of Biosphere 2. Always a pleasure to talk to him. They've had a great season and so much more coming up at Biosphere 2. Speaking of things coming up, we do a lot of local talk here on AM 1030 KVOI. We do now 6 hours with the expansion of the afternoon program, Mike Shaw's Mic Check program, ably assisted by Ray Allen. That's 6 hours of daily talk from a local point of view. And this afternoon, I'm going to make sure I want to hear this one for sure. Guy Atchley, recently retired, 34 years as the anchor at KGUN 9, is going to be Mike's guest. I believe that will be from the 5 o'clock hour with Mike. So tune in certainly for that on Mic Check. Coming up tomorrow, it's Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, will be talking about debating the militarization of the border with Mexico. That and last-minute tax tips. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Ray Allen, all of us wish you a great afternoon and evening.